We've all heard about the Antichrist. But usually when he's spoken of, in spite of the biblical evidence, he is spoken of as one who is coming in the future, when actually he has been here nearly 2,000 years. The Antichrist arrived shortly after Christ did. In this last segment of our series on the new birth, we will expose that crafty Antichrist for what he really is, a lying spirit whose chief work from the beginning has been to confuse people concerning the new birth. His chief work from the beginning has been to persuade people to believe they are born again before they are. His chief goal has been to teach people to confess that they are born again before they receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, hoping that when they do hear about the Spirit baptism, they will feel no need for it and will turn away in a show of ungodly confidence. This is the real Antichrist, and oh, how successful he has been. I understand that it may seem strange to some of you that we should conclude a series on the new birth by studying the Antichrist. Actually, though, it is perfectly fitting. If there is any issue which Satan desires men to be confused about, it is the issue of the new birth. That is the purpose and the plan of his Antichrist spirit that is already at work and has been at work since almost the beginning of the new covenant. The Antichrist is not some future monster for which we are to look. He is, as both John the Apostle and Paul said, a spiritual presence that has already come and had already come in their day. In John's first epistle, chapter 2, verse 18, he wrote, "Children, it is the last hour. And just as you heard that Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have appeared." This is almost 2,000 years ago, and John says, even now there are many Antichrists. Now, we need to consider what the apostles wrote because they knew the truth. In the next verse, in verse 19, he said, "They," now this is the Antichrists that have gone out into the world, "they went out from us." So they had been walking in the apostles' doctrine and spirit at some point. They went out from us. But John says, they were not of us, or they were not from us. We didn't send them out. For if they were from us, they would have remained among us. But they went out from us so that they might be exposed, because not all are from us. We read in Acts 15 that some men went out from Jerusalem, away from John, away from Peter, away from James, teaching things that were not true to the Gentiles. Such were the Antichrists. They went out from us. The Antichrist are those among the true saints of God who are very religious. They are not anti-religion. They are not anti-Jesus. They are anti what Christ really is. In the first century A.D., the word anti did not mean against. It meant instead of. It's used in the New Testament for one example where Jesus said, "If any of you who is a father has a son and that son asks you for a fish, will that father, will you anti a fish give him a stone?" It means instead of. The spirit of Antichrist is a spirit of instead of Christ. It's a spirit instead of what is really the spirit of Christ. It is a very religious spirit, but it's a spirit of a religion that is instead of the true one. It offers a forgiveness that is not really forgiveness. It offers a love that is instead of the love of God. It offers a fellowship that is instead of the fellowship of Christ. It offers doctrines that are instead of the doctrine of God. Paul warned his fellow believers of those who would come teaching another Jesus or offer them another spirit. The Antichrist offers you another Jesus. The spirit of Antichrist is very religious, as I said. It teaches in the name of God things that are not right. It offers another Jesus who has no power. It offers another spirit that does not confess Christ when it enters in. This is what anti really meant when John wrote it. Now, the first point then that we really need to understand in order to comprehend the mystery of iniquity, as Paul described it, concerning the Antichrist, the man of sin, is that the Antichrist has already come and has been here since almost the beginning of the New Testament. There are now, remember, John said, many Antichrist, and they went out from us. They existed in his day. This is 2,000 years ago. They were already here. They were people who walked with Christ and then walked away, who walked with the apostles and then began to teach perverse things. They departed from the faith that had been revealed to the saints and began to teach a doctrine which, even now, still has wide acceptance among believers. This is the spirit of Antichrist. We do not want to be among those who hold simplistic notions about the Antichrist. The Antichrist spirit is a deeply religious spirit. It is here, and it has been here a long time. That's the first thing we want to know. Paul never mentions the word Antichrist. He calls this spirit by a different name. He calls it the man of sin or the son of perdition. Perdition means destruction or damnation. And this spirit is the son of it. In other words, it has the nature of it. It produces death and damnation where it is received. When this man of sin, this son of perdition, the spirit of Antichrist enters in, when it's welcomed, it brings desolation. Jesus called it the abomination of desolation. God hates it. And if you embrace it, it makes you desolate of the things of God. Jesus said it was an abomination. But he also said, what is highly esteemed among men is an abomination with God. And the religion of the man of sin, the religion of the spirit of Antichrist, is very highly esteemed on this earth. It looks good. It says it's good. People think it's good, but it's without the holiness and power of the Spirit of God. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, Paul writes about this spirit in this way. He said, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that you not be soon shaken in mind or alarmed by a spirit or by a spoken word or by a letter seeming to be from us saying that the day of Christ is at hand." Somebody was writing these saints in Thessalonica saying that the day of Christ was at hand. Jesus said one of the signs that his time is not near is that men would rise up in his name and say that it is. Have you ever heard that? Jesus could come back at any moment. All things are fulfilled. Jesus said they would be here, and they would say the time is at hand. And they did do that, and they are here now. Many of them, don't be fooled into thinking that Jesus is about to come at any moment. It's not time for him to come. I've been telling this to people for many years now. It's doubtful that Jesus will come in my lifetime, or yours if you're listening to me in the same year that I'm broadcasting this. Many things must happen before Jesus comes again. But the false teachers try to manipulate people through fear to give them more money, to do as they say, to carry out the ceremonies, to believe the doctrines. The spirit of Antichrist is in control of all of it to keep God's people under control. Paul was writing these Thessalonians and saying, be careful, do not fall into that trap. Then Paul goes on to say this, "Let no man deceive you by any means, because that day," and he's talking about the coming of Jesus, "shall not come unless there comes first a falling away, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition." Now notice that Paul does not prophesy to the saints here that the man of sin is coming sometime in the future. What he's saying, what he's prophesying, is that he would be revealed. He would be exposed. He would be brought out of the darkness and exposed for what he really is. He was already there. In the first part of verse 7 in the same chapter, Paul says, the mystery of iniquity is already at work. The man of sin was already there in Paul's day. The Antichrist was already there in John's day. They weren't saying to look in the future for a monstrous man to come who is the Antichrist. Neither one of them said that. They said it's already going on, but before Jesus comes back, it's going to be exposed. So this man of sin is already at work, just as John said. There are many Antichrists, and they went out from us. Paul is describing that same spirit, those same people, directed by that same man of sin, Lucifer himself, but that man of sin has been revealed to some of God's people. He's been revealed to us. God is beginning to set his people free. We all know that in John's revelation, the book of Revelation, a beast is mentioned. This is a great world ruler who will have a helper called the false prophet, and they will subjugate the entire earth and persecute and put to death any who do not worship the beast. But that is not the Antichrist. That beast is coming, but the Antichrist is already here. He's been here, as I said, almost from the inception of the New Testament. The mystery of iniquity doth already work. Even now there be many Antichrists. There is a reason that the word Antichrist is not in the book of Revelation. Think about that. When you use the word Antichrist, you are talking about a being who has been here since the earliest days of the New Testament and has worked and is virtually in control of the minds of God's people today. But he is going to be revealed for what he really is, and the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, is doing that now in the hearts of many who believe the truth when they hear it. The Antichrist is already at work, and he's in full command of that institution that is called the church. And he's already seated in the temple of God, because Paul says, he prophesies about this and describes it in 2 Thessalonians chapter 4, chapter 2, verse 4. He said that this Antichrist sits in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Now, don't think in carnal terms. To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Paul said that the Antichrist sits in the temple of God. What did Paul say is the temple of God? He wrote to the Corinthian saints and said, "Don't you know that you are the temple of God? The Holy Ghost dwells in you." 1 Corinthians 3:16. That is the only temple of God on the planet. Paul asked the saints to think about that and to think that way. So when Paul said that the Antichrist is sitting in the temple of God, he's not describing a building in Jerusalem. Many religious teachers, biblical teachers, carnally minded, read that verse in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4, about the man of sin sitting in the temple of God, and they teach that this Antichrist is a bad man coming in the future who's going to build a building in Jerusalem and sit in it. Well, look, Paul was not foolish. Paul used words the way God uses words. When Paul said this man of sin is sitting in the temple of God, he knew what the temple of God is. He didn't teach that a temple would be rebuilt in Jerusalem. Even if men did build a temple in Jerusalem, it wouldn't be the temple of God. They might call it that, but that won't make it true. What Paul said was true. The Antichrist is sitting in God's temple, and you are the temple of the living God because the Holy Ghost is dwelling in you. That is where the Antichrist is reigning, in the temple of God, in the hearts of people who have the real Spirit of God. They are the only temple of God that exists on the planet, those in whom the Spirit of God is. That is where the throne of the Antichrist is. He's sitting there as God, claiming to be God himself, and God's people have received him that way because they've been misled by Christian doctrine. That's how you receive the spirit of Antichrist, through his doctrines. Even ancient philosophers, Socrates and Plato, knew and said that whatever deceives bewitches. Paul mentioned this same thing, implied the same thing in his letter to the Galatians when he asked them who had bewitched them that they no longer should believe the truth. You see, the spirit of Antichrist had made it, and his ministers had made it to Galatians and perverted the faith of the saints there. It was already working in Paul's day. When you receive a lie into your heart, you receive a spirit with it. You become somewhat bewitched. A spell is cast over your spirit. And Paul saw this working among God's people in his day. John saw it working in his day. He said, you've heard that it was coming, and here it is. But God is going to reveal the spirit of Antichrist to be exactly what it is in his sight. Are you ready to have that man of sin revealed as a part of preparing for the coming of the Lord? The Antichrist doctrine is that he is not here yet. He is here telling you that he's coming. We see him. We know he's already here. We see him as taking over many of the hearts and minds of the people looking for God. And in the main, God's people have received him as if he was the Lord himself, and made room for him in their hearts. Paul said to the Thessalonians in that same chapter 2 of 2 Thessalonians 2, 5 and 6, he said, don't you remember that when I was still with you, I told you about this? And now you know what is restraining, what is holding things back so that he might be revealed in his time. Not come, he was already there, but be revealed in his time. It must be time for God to begin to reveal the Antichrist for what he really is, to reveal the doctrines that he teaches, to reveal the fact that he's been here the whole time, to reveal the fact that he teaches, the spirit of Antichrist teaches, that he's not here yet. God is setting some of his people free. Don't you want to be among them? God is visiting people who are in bondage to Christianity, to set them free and open their eyes and let them see that spirit of Antichrist that sits in their temple telling them this is God. God is hearing the cry of his abused people, and he hurts for them. Now, the key verses in the Bible that help us best understand what is the spirit of Antichrist are in 1 John chapter 4, beginning in verse 1. John the Apostle addresses the people that he loves so much to help them see clearly in their day the spirit of Antichrist and the real spirit of God. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, this is the only place in the Bible where we are told, this is how you know the Spirit of God. The reason John felt the need to write to these people to tell them what the real Spirit of God was is that the Spirit of Antichrist was already at work in their midst. He wrote to them and said, cherished people of God, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they be of God, because many false prophets have gone out from us into the world. notice this. John did not say many false prophets have come into the congregation of the Lord from the world. He said they went out into the world, and he'd already told them they went out from us. There's not but one place from which you can go out into the world, and that is out of the kingdom of God. Many false prophets, John said, have gone out from us into the world. And then in verse 2 is one of the most important verses in the entire Bible, because he starts it out by saying, "By this you know the Spirit of God." Now, isn't that important? Don't you want to know what is really the Spirit of God and what is not? Our ears ought to prick up when we hear that. There was something that these antichrists were preaching, and today are preaching, that was confusing the issue as to what is the real Spirit of God. And so John felt moved by the love of God for God's people to speak very plainly what is the Spirit of God and what is not. And if the people needed that knowledge in John's day, when the spirit of Antichrist was just beginning to show its ugly head, how much more now when it has taken control of the religious apparatus that God's people look to for guidance? It's called Christianity. The spirit of Antichrist is the Lord of it. Today, when the spirit of Antichrist has not only come and worked, but has taken over, we need to be delivered from its influence. Now listen, hereby you know the Spirit of God. This is it. Every spirit that confesses Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. Please pay attention to what John does not say. He does not say every person who confesses that Jesus Christ came in the flesh is of God. John knew better than that. He knew there were men out there saying Jesus came from God. He called them false teachers. Paul knew better than that. Peter knew better than that. All of the mentioned men out there ministering in the name of Jesus who were liars, who were deceived. Jesus said they were coming. John would never have said every person who tells you or confesses that Jesus came in the flesh is of God. But what he did say is that every spirit that confesses Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God, because he knew that every time somebody received the real Spirit of God, that Spirit testified. It spoke in tongues. It confessed that Christ had come in the flesh. Paul said the Spirit bears witness with our spirit. John said in 1 John, the Spirit is the witness, because the Spirit is truth. The Old Testament prophets, the New Testament men of God, all spoke of the Spirit speaking, of the testimony of the Spirit. Isaiah said in Isaiah 28, 11 and 12, with stammering lips and another tongue will God speak to this people, to whom he said, this is the rest. This is the real Spirit of God, wherewith you may cause the weary to rest. And this real Spirit of God is the refreshing. Zephaniah 3:9 prophesies about it. Amos, Paul describes it. Peter calls it the answer of a clear conscience toward God. It's vocal. Jesus said, when the Spirit has come, he will testify of me. And John said, this is how you know the real Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. Paul spoke of men who had transformed themselves into apostles of Christ, but were liars. They claimed to be apostles of Jesus Christ. They were not anti-Jesus. They were offering men an instead of Christ spirit, an antichrist spirit. They were working, in fact, for Satan, Paul said, who himself had been transformed into an angel of light. That is, claiming to preach the gospel. Look, claiming to preach the gospel is one of the marks of the spirit of Antichrist. Antichrist does not speak evil of Jesus. He offers doctrines and the Spirit that is instead of Christ. He teaches falsely about the Spirit of God. John spoke truly about the Spirit of God. John said, every spirit that confesses Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. What do we say? John warned his precious brothers and sisters about being deceived by a spirit that did not speak when it came in. He warned them about the false teachers, the Antichrist. Paul warned the saints about the false apostles. Jesus warned us. In Matthew 24, Jesus is talking about the end of the world, and his disciples ask him, what are the signs of these things, that the end of the world is coming, and what is the sign of your coming? And the first thing Jesus answered them is, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, speaking well of Jesus, but not motivated by the Spirit of Christ, not the real Spirit of God that testifies when it comes in, that confesses that Christ has come into your flesh when it comes in. Jesus said they'd be saying, I am anointed, I am Christ. I am Christ means I am anointed. When they come speaking well of Jesus, saying they are ordained to speak things from God, that spirit that they claim is God's doesn't speak when it comes in. Every spirit that confesses Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And when you receive the real Spirit of Christ, it confesses, it speaks, it testifies, as Jesus said. Or as Paul said, it bears witness in Romans 8. When you receive the Holy Ghost, the real Holy Ghost, it speaks through you. It's like the wind that blows through you, Jesus told Nicodemus, and you hear the sound of it. That is the real Spirit of God. The spirit of Antichrist is the spirit of Christianity. It's the spirit that men have to tell you that you have received, because it doesn't confess Christ when it comes in. When you receive the real Holy Ghost, it will confess Jesus Christ has come into your body, your flesh. It will confess Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. Jesus said it this way in John 15, 26 and 27, but when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you, he will testify of me, and you also shall bear witness. Do you have the Spirit of God that testifies and confesses Jesus Christ? Or do you have the spirit of Antichrist that some Christian minister told you that you had, that you just have to assume and take his word for it that it's come in? If you have that kind of spirit that did not speak in a heavenly language, or as Isaiah said, in stammering lips or another tongue when it came to you, you have what John describes in 1 John 4:3. He said, every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not of God. And this spirit that many are receiving and being told it's the Spirit of God, but it says nothing when it comes in, this is the spirit of the Antichrist that you heard was coming, and now already is it in the world. Which spirit do you say is of God? The one that speaks when it comes in and confesses Jesus Christ, or the one that does not? Any non-speaking spirit that the devil can get you to recognize as being of God is only a spirit of that man of sin, the Antichrist. He sits in the temple of God because he has persuaded God's people to receive him. Most of God's people in the earth today were persuaded to believe that they had the Spirit of God before they were baptized with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues. That's the spirit of Antichrist. When they receive the real Holy Ghost, when their hunger and thirst for righteousness pushed them on and motivated them on to receive the real thing, then they became the temple of God, but they didn't get rid of that non-speaking spirit. They still had confidence in Him. They still believed that they were born again before they were baptized with the Holy Ghost. That's when the spirit of Antichrist is in the temple of God. Every Spirit-baptized person on earth has spoken in tongues or with stammering lips when it happened. And most of them have been taught that they were born again before that time. That's the doctrine of the spirit of Antichrist. Many of them claim that they're already saved and were already saved before they received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That's the doctrine of the Antichrist. That's him in them, motivating them to stand up for him. You didn't have forgiveness of sins until the Holy Ghost came in and it spoke. You didn't have your sins washed away any more than the Apostle Paul did before he received the Holy Ghost. Until you received the baptism of Christ, your sins were not gone. You didn't have God in your heart until the Holy Ghost came in. You didn't have Jesus in your heart. When the Spirit, the real Spirit of God comes in, Jesus said, "The Father and I come take our abode." You see, He comes. 1 John 3:24, we know that He dwells in us by the Spirit that He has given to us. How'd John know that? Because the Spirit confessed Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. Yes, the Spirit of Antichrist has been enthroned for almost 2,000 years among the saints of God on earth. He's been for many, many centuries now in the temple of God claiming that He is God, and that receiving Him is greater than receiving the Holy Ghost from God. He claims that He washed your sins away before the Holy Ghost got there. He claims that He cleansed your soul. He forgave your sins before the Holy Ghost got there. And He's a liar. Yes, it's the spirit of Antichrist who teaches men to believe that they are saved before they receive the Holy Ghost baptism. And he has the hearts of my brothers and sisters. And I want them free from him, so that we can all be together in one. The doctrine of the Antichrist, the basis of all of this religion that God hates called Christianity, is that you are right with God before the Son of God baptizes you with His Spirit. You never see, never read in any book of the New Testament of any person being born again before he received the Holy Ghost baptism. There's no example of that in the Bible. The spirit of Antichrist, in spite of that truth, has just about convinced everybody in the kingdom of God that when they received Him and His speechless Spirit, that's when God came in. And now you know why the word Antichrist never appears in the book of Revelation. John's revelation dealt with the future. But when John wrote that revelation, he was dealing with the spirit of Antichrist among God's people right then and warning them of his speechless spirit. The Antichrist came teaching that men were right with God and had their sins washed away by the blood of Christ without receiving the Holy Ghost baptism with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. That's the doctrine of the Antichrist. And what a success that doctrine has been. It has ruined the beautiful garments of the children of God. It has divided us. It has darkened the minds of God's people and turned them against one another. But Jesus will rescue us if we'll ask Him. He is now exposing that man of sin to you so that all of us, all of His children, may pursue the things of the Spirit of God together. This is how you know the real Spirit of God. The most important words that I've read to you tonight. John said it, and he knew what he was saying. This is how you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist whereof you have heard is coming. And it's already here. Paul said, when God exposed him, when God revealed him to his people, that would be a sign that the coming of Jesus is near. And let's hope that's what is happening now.